If you've been told to pull up your socks, then make sure it's a pair of TNT socks. The TNT shop is now open at TNTRadio.live. You're with Steve Malzberg on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All right, folks, welcome aboard. It is 4 minutes after the hour of 10 p.m. on Tuesday night here on the East Coast of the United States. And you know what day and time it is wherever you are listening to the Steve Malzberg Show on TNT Radio. We have a lot to get to. Very special guest rejoining us. But I do want to talk about the first item on the list to discuss with him. And there was a decision, a 2-1 ruling from the 4th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in Richmond, Virginia, earlier today, which overturned a ruling from a federal judge last year. That federal judge found that the Fairfax County School Board was engaging in racial balancing when it changed the whole admissions policy at Thomas Jefferson High School for Science and Technology. And that high school is considered to be one of the best in the country. Okay. But of course, the powers that be decided there weren't enough Black and Hispanic students that were making it into that high school, while Asian Americans made up more than 70% of the student body. So in 2020, guess what the school board did? They changed the admissions process. No more standardized tests, okay, which had been the mainstay of how to get in. They changed everything. And even though the process technically doesn't take race into account, it gives weight in favor of applicants who are economically disadvantaged or still learning English, which I don't really understand the last part. So it increased, this change increased the number of Black students from 1% to 7%, and Hispanic representation increased from 3% to 11%. Meanwhile, of course, Asian Americans, their representation decreased from 73% to 54% because of these changes. So that's one of the things I want to discuss with our next guest, who's always good enough to come back. We welcome back Horace Cooper, senior fellow with the National Center for Public Policy Research and co-chair of Project 21, their National Advisory Board. Horace, great to talk to you again, sir.
Steve, it is always a pleasure to come on your program.
Well, I appreciate that. So here we go. And, you know, this might wind up before the Supreme Court, which already has a Harvard case, which we should find out about in June, which addresses similar, although that is racial, more racially based. Here they managed to get around calling it racially based and get more Blacks and Hispanics in at the expense of Asians. But nonetheless, it's kind of the same outcome.
This is exactly correct. Your analysis is on point. Just imagine that it's 1925, and there's a school that had been allowing Jews and Blacks at higher rates than their population represented, and the local community was upset about that, and they decided to change the rules. The civil rights community would be in uproar over changing the admission protocols solely or primarily so that the groups that had been achieving could no longer get opportunities. This is no different. The only thing they've changed is the race. And as you know, I've said many times, the evil of arresting Rosa Parks for trying to sit down in, quote, the white section after she had worked a long, hard day is not because she was Black. It is because she was a citizen. Her tax dollars paid for this bus. And all of the citizens deserved the right to be able to access the facilities that are offered by government. The same is true today. Asians shouldn't be penalized. Whites shouldn't be penalized. No group should be penalized. And there's been no showing that using these academic achievement tests was in some way not an accurate testing of how people were likely to do.
Yeah. Well, again, I hope that the court does eventually get it, and I hope that the court eventually.
It's going to have to go. This is the Fourth Circuit has been packed by Biden and Obama. It used to be much more reliably pro-constitution. It is going to have to be overturned by the Supreme Court. And that is unfortunate. But we really, as our Chief Justice said, should not be trying to fix the problem of discrimination with discrimination.
Yep. Makes a lot of sense. Okay, let's move on. Tim Scott, earlier this week, the great Republican senator, who is black, of course, launched his campaign and said this is not a racist country. And he went on to talk about his story and how he made it. And, you know, if I could make it, then anybody could make it, which makes a lot of sense. But of course, there's been the usual pushback that you would expect. So I want you to listen to, unfortunately, bear with me. I'm sorry to put you through this, but this is Whoopi Goldberg and Sonny. It's not really her name, Hostin, on The View, talking about Tim Scott. Here's 244.
He came out and did that dog whistle.
Mm-hmm.
Victimhood. As soon as you say that, you know what he's talking about. I didn't like that.
I didn't like
you know
that. One of the issues that Tim Scott has is that he seems to think because I made it, everyone can make it, ignoring again the fact that he is the exception and not the rule. And until he is the rule,
he has,
then he can stop talking about systemic racism.
Clarence Thomas syndrome.
He has Clarence Thomas syndrome. So said Whoopi Goldberg at the end of that great remark by Sonny Hostin. Wow. I mean, just because he made it, he thinks anybody could make it. I mean, yeah.
So a couple things. One is, if you know about Tim Scott's story, you know that he overcame a lot of obstacles. And yep. It wasn't a glide path. It was not a silver spoon world. It was not a life of privilege. His line is that he, in one generation, his grandfather got to see cotton to Congress in one generation. My observation about all of this is these two individuals are examples of the great opportunities that exist in America. They are highly compensated. They're very talented. They're very wrong on politics. But they, when they are applying themselves, are significantly able to demonstrate competence in the fields that they work, particularly Whoopi Goldberg when she was an actress. I mention that to say there are lots of people that were the children of actors or the children of directors or the children of producers that had major advantages. She did not. And yet she has achieved a lot. And it is because in America, if you apply yourself, if you work hard, if you push through, there is nothing that you cannot achieve. Our former president, Mr. Obama, one of the things, and there were many policy issues where I disagreed with him on, but one of the things that disappointed me most about him is that he refused to stand up in front of poor, lower class, impoverished welfare community recipients and say to them, look at me. If you apply yourself, you can be president too. I did it, and so can you. He refused to do that. And instead, he said to our young people that America was unfair and that he's working tirelessly to try to overcome that unfairness for them. It built resentment, and the worst thing that it did is it took away ambition. Why try if the odds are stacked against you? A man who demonstrates the possibility of America literally pulls the rung up behind him and says to other poor people, dispossessed people, people of color, no, America's not the place for you. I've never forgiven him for that.
Yeah, what do you believe the agenda is for people like Obama and Whoopi to attack people like Tim Scott and Clarence Thomas? And I mean, I know they're conservative blacks, and that's one agenda. But to say, oh, you know, basically they're saying any black who's successful is an exception and not a rule. I mean, what is that?
Yeah, America is replete with the representation of talented people. If you are a young person, maybe you're in elementary school or in junior high, we should be having people like Whoopi Goldberg and Sonny and the former president and others say to them, what is your dream? And you know, when I was a kid, people were talking about being astronauts. People were talking about being doctors. I ended up becoming a lawyer. We're not seeing from young communities, particularly those that are dispossessed, any of that ambition. And it's precisely because people are told that the odds are stacked against him. I fear that there's way more willingness or affinity on the part of people like Whoopi Goldberg or people like Barack Obama with the progressive vision than with the community of ethnicity that they are participants in. They have left those people behind, and they continue to undermine their interests. That's why my newest book is all about how these progressive policies hurt Black Americans and any person, any community struggling.
Give us the name of the book, please, sir.
The name of the book is Put Y'all Back in Chains, How Biden's Policies Harm Blacks. And we go from energy, we go from family formation, we go from job creation, we go to crime, immigration, every single one of the LGBTQ policy priority, all of these things put stumbling blocks in the way of poor whites, poor blacks, and poor browns. And it's because the constituencies that matter, the eco-greenies, the LGBTQ communities, the socialists, and I just mean the economic socialists, I don't mean it in a disparaging way, I mean those people that fully believe that government needs to reallocate, those groups have the ear of the in-power president and his advisors, and the interests of Black Americans, poor white Americans, are just left to the side.
Well, we're gonna have you back on to talk only about the book in the near future.
And comes out July 4th, so I'll be happy to do that.
Great. Okay, good. I was hoping I didn't miss it. So okay, cool. That put you all back in chains. Okay, let me go on here. Tomorrow we have Ron DeSantis is going to announce that he's throwing his hat in the presidential ring. And of course, so he's not black, he's white, but it doesn't matter. None of it matters. Listen to this quick CBS report, which features Derek Johnson, the president and CEO of the NAACP. Here's 245.
The NAACP is broiling. It's targeting the state's $100 billion tourism industry with a travel warning.
Are you telling black Americans in other states to stay out of Florida?
We're telling travelers, beware that you have a state and a state policy landscape that can be harmful to your existence.
Now, I just want you to hear one other thing. This is a short one. This is Gayle King on CBS after that report aired. Here is cut 246.
Well, I keep thinking about the black people that live there. I actually have two sisters that live in Florida. What this means for people who live there or people of color who are planning to go to Florida. Yeah. I don't know. It's very unsettling to me on many levels.
Unsettling to her on many levels. She's worried about her sisters who live there. What is your reaction to what the NAACP is doing?
One of the oldest civil rights organizations in our country has sold out its soul. Again, I mentioned this, and it's important. The NAACP, like our president, like our former president, are more committed to the progressive vision than they are to the oath of office, in the case of our president, or to the founding principles of the NAACP. There is no threat to Black Americans who want to go to Florida. In fact, Florida, since DeSantis has been governor, has been the number one destination if you're a Black person and you want to start a new small business. Let me repeat that. Not California, not New York, not Illinois, not any other, quote, woke place in America. It's Florida, where if you are a Black person and you want to start your business, that's where you go. The unemployment rate for Black Americans is lower than it is nationally if you are a resident in Florida. Millions of people, in fact, Florida is the number one state destination for all Americans. The idea that those Black Americans or white Americans or any other Floridians that have started up businesses and are sacrificing, this so-called travel ban would hurt if it was in any way credible what they were saying, because they're no longer considered as credible. What the progressives did in Atlanta with the All-Star game, it crippled Black Americans that had really set themselves up for an opportunity for profit and achievement and success. This is no different. The good news is that the NAACP is just asking us, who you gonna believe, them or your lying eyes? And thankfully, we're not going to believe them.
Okay, I got one more for you. I want you to listen to this. This is a physician's assistant from Bellevue Hospital in New York City who is pregnant and is trying to get on, in New York City, as in other cities, they have these bicycles that you kind of rent and then put back. And she's trying to get on the bicycle, which, as it turns out, according to her attorney, she legitimately rented. And a Black male is trying to prevent her, claiming it's his bike. And then a crowd forms and she gets scared. Here's how it sounded. Here's cut number 247.
Help me! Please help me!
This is not your bike.
Please help me!
This is not your bike.
Please help me! Help! Please get off me!
Wait, what the f*** is going on, bro?
Yo, don't let me take it, bro.
Now you're not getting the bike, bro.
Yeah, now you're not getting the bike.
Help!
Okay, it's a little hard to hear. She said, I'm pregnant, I have an unborn baby. And she was scared and she started tearing up and crying. And Ben Crump, which the media would call noted civil rights attorney, tweeted out the video and said, this is unacceptable. A white woman was caught on camera attempting to steal a city bike from a young Black man in New York City. She grossly tried to weaponize her tears to paint this man as a threat. This is exactly the type of behavior that has endangered so many Black men in the past. Subsequently, I guess upon thinking about it and getting the facts, he deleted that tweet. But the lawyer hasn't ruled out suing some people because he says she has been defamed. What's your take on the reaction by Crump and the reaction by the media, you know, at the beginning?
So it's pretty obvious. There's a difference between conservatives and liberals. We conservatives don't believe something until we see it. But the liberals can't see something until they believe it. We live in a world where, even though every year for the last 15 years, the number of hate crime claims made by blacks has reduced. Hate crimes are not reducing because Jews are being attacked, Asians are being attacked, seniors are being attacked, but black Americans are being attacked at fewer numbers. We're also seeing in the workplace fewer blacks claiming that they were unfairly discriminated against. Marriages, we're seeing a record number of interracial marriages. I say all of this just to say there is no crusade of any kind to destroy, undercut, or harm blacks. But someone like Benjamin Crump lives in a world where it is true, whether there's evidence or not, that blacks are being targeted. And in this case, even without knowing any details, not understanding, not having any context, he quickly, along with several news organs, jumped at white woman attacks black young youth and tries to steal his bike. Well, it's true. Our newspapers, our news stations don't cover anymore when a black youth steals from another adult. So this is a man bites dog story. But they don't happen. And that is part of their belief system that America's unfair, that America's unjust. It's simply not true. There's no data to support that. And frankly, Mr. Crump is a race grifter, and all he has done is become a multimillionaire by creating the impression that America is this hellscape for black Americans. It's just not true.
Horace, my friend, thank you so much. Always fascinating talking to you, and we'll speak to you again soon, and definitely get you back in July for the book. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Nice being on the program.
Thank you. Horace Cooper, ladies and gentlemen, senior fellow with the National Center for Public Policy Research and co-chair of the Project 21 National Advisory Board. He has been a friend for a number of years, and he is he's the best. He really is. And I'm glad he brought up his success of as becoming a lawyer and now doing what he's doing now, which he didn't mention specifically because I was going to mention in the list of successful black people that he was talking about, he certainly is on that list without a doubt. All right, we'll come back. We have a lot to get to, as I say it every night. It's always the case, and we will do it. I'm Steve Malzberg right here on TNT Radio.
TNT Radio's Ross Cameron.
The Germans have been the leading force in economic productivity in Western Europe. They were the ones who retained this sort of Teutonic gift and capacity for advanced manufacturing. And they built the European motor vehicle industry, continued to flourish after, for example, the British motor industry failed. This sort of engineering expertise has been a bit like the Atlas holding up the European economy. And if Germany fails, Europe fails. I think we are now seeing the United States on the verge of some kind of implosion as a consequence of a mirrored set of policies. And indeed, I would say Australia is on the same path, simply perhaps 2, 3, 4, 5 years behind, but subject to the same kinds of destructive forces and equally without any obvious solution. And energy policy, as far as economics is concerned, is really the most important policy.
Ross Cameron on TNT Radio.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. Those 9 months were also 273 days of planning. What about your daughter's first costume party? It was out of this world. And let's not forget those barbecues you plan in detail for your family and your more vegetarian by the day best friends. That surprise party for your parents' golden anniversary? You get the golden planning. The same way you plan each detail for those moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Protecting your family is the best plan you can make.
You're with Steve Malzberg on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All right, you are indeed. All right, so let's get right to it, shall we? Okay, so so much. I can't even believe I'm bringing you this again, but I'm bringing you this again. Just a day after Hillary claimed that Biden's age is of concern and should be of concern. At the same time, she said he's done a lot and he should get credit and all that. So she's backing him. But once again, Biden, look, let's get this straight. Biden would say things that weren't true even back in 88 when he had to drop out of the presidential race. So he may be senile, but he's always been a liar. He was a liar in 87 and 88, had to drop out. He lied about law school, lied about his college standing, lied about so many different things that the media called him out and he had to drop out. And then when he was running in 2008, where Obama eventually got the nomination, he called Barack Obama the first clean, articulate black American ever to run for president. Now, there had been plenty of other black Americans who ran for president. What were they? Dirty and inarticulate? So this guy has always said weird things. He's always lied. He was a plagiarist when it came to political speeches, robbing from RFK Sr., Jr., and other politicians, foreign politicians as well. That was pointed out back then by the media, too. So this guy has always been out of his mind. But when you talk about your son who died of cancer and you repeatedly say he was killed in Iraq, look, maybe it's the combination of being a habitual compulsive liar and losing your mind. Or maybe it's one of the other, but I think it's a combo. So he was talking to Marines during a stop in Japan over the weekend before he came home at an air station in Japan. This was on Thursday, actually, at the G7. So let's listen to cut number 255.
Just imagine, I mean it sincerely, I say this as a father of a man who won the Bronze Star, the Conspicuous Service Medal, and lost his life in Iraq. Imagine the courage, the daring, and the genuine sacrifice they all made.
What is there to say? What is there to say about this liar? He's either, again, he's always lied. He's always lied, and I've played you, and I will play you again, the lies from 88 and 87 that forced him out of that race when he got called out by the media. He lies, he lies, he lies. But is this just that? Just the continuation of the lies? You would lie about your son purposely, or is he just out of his freaking mind? Because he has said this repeatedly. Biden's son, Beau, died of brain cancer in 2015 at the Walter Reed Military Hospital in Bethesda, Maryland. The president has said that his son's death from cancer was caused by burn pits in Iraq. Okay? He didn't die in Iraq. He wasn't killed in Iraq. He died of cancer in a hospital. This is just sick stuff. So I don't even know what to say anymore. But you know, if this was Donald Trump claiming, I don't know, and I don't want to put a death in the family that didn't exist. But if this was, maybe Donald's brother,
You know, I don't know if he said, my brother died rescuing a woman from a burning building. And he didn't. So what would the media do? They'd say, this guy's out of his freaking mind. Invoke the 25th Amendment. Get him the hell out. No, instead we hear Joe Biden is so he's vibrant. He's vital. He corrects people at meetings. He's got more energy than a 40-year-old. Oh, yeah. Okay. Right. You can't believe any of them, folks. You can't believe any of them. My son died in Iraq. I say this as a man whose son died fighting in Iraq. What's there to say? What is there to say after that? This country's in trouble. That's all there is to say. Not only because he is where he is and he's being allowed to run again, but because we have a media who will hush this up. This just came out today. I mean, there had to be reporters in attendance when he said it on last Thursday in Japan. This just came out. This video just came out today. And when I say came out, I mean on conservative sites. What do you think? Joe Scarborough is going to talk about this? NBC, ABC, CBS, the Washington Post, the New York Times. Think they're going to put this on a high up page and say, here we go again. What's wrong with this man? No, they're not going to tell you he said it. That's the state of the country we live in. That's the state of the media. But if Donald Trump sneezed and didn't say excuse me or didn't sneeze into the handkerchief, they'd say he was unfit to serve and what's going on and we got to get him the hell out. That's how it works. That is how it works. Oh, my gosh. All right. So I want to go back to Gail King. I played the Gail King cut, her concern about Florida being dangerous for blacks because that's what the NAACP is now saying. Well, Gail King said something else. Actually, this is Tony Donapil on CBS. He was co-hosting with Gail King on CBS this morning. And after she said what she said, Tony Donapil says basically what I said last night. Last night I said, well, give a listen here. This is CBS, Tony Donapil. This is cut number 248.
I think Ron DeSantis is very happy to have this fight.
Yeah.
I mean, for the NAACP to say democracy will prevail. I mean, democracy is prevailing in Florida. The state legislature passed these laws. The governor signed them. That's the process. He got votes from majority of Latino voters,
yes.
a decent portion of the black population there. And this is the democracy. Vote him out mm-hmm. next time.
That's pretty much what I said. I'm a talk show host, not a correspondent on a on-air, over-the-air TV show. So I have more free reign on a radio show. That's what I've always loved about radio over television. You got more time. So I put it a little differently, but I was responding to Joy Behar calling Ron DeSantis's state legislator state legislature and the legislators sycophant legislature. And I said, excuse me? Here's exactly what I said. Here's 249. How did that sycophant legislature, state legislature, get there? Did Ron DeSantis appoint them? Are they sycophants because DeSantis appointed them? They were voted in. Brain surgeon moron. They were voted in by the people of Florida. Duh. So she says the only way Ron DeSantis gets these things passed is because the legislature will vote for whatever he wants. Yeah, but the legislature was voted in just like Ron DeSantis was voted in. This is what the people of Florida want. That's why they elect and reelect these legislators. And they elected and reelected the governor, DeSantis. And this is what they're doing, what they were elected to do. Passing these kinds of laws and bills and and doing it at the behest of the people who voted them in. I mean, what doesn't she understand about that? The sycophant legislature was voted in by the sycophant Floridians.
So I might have been more expressive, but I said that. And then this morning, I'm not implying that Tony Donapil was listening. I'm just saying he said the same thing. You know, he's welcoming this fight. And people who say, you know, the democracy, whatever, liberty, he said, this is democracy. And if the people don't like it, then when the next vote comes around for the legislature, vote them out. But they voted them in. So, you know, he wasn't referring to Joy Behar. But I wish he had heard it, and he did respond to Joy Behar. Okay. There's not much you could say about these people. They're really, you know, they just say anything. They just say anything. And again, we'll never know to what degree they get it and just say things or don't get it and are just dumb as a doornail. Really. And I'm sure on that panel you have smarter ones and dumber ones. I think Joy Behar is the dumbest woman in television, in my opinion. Whoopi's right up there. Sonny is a pompous ass, arrogant dummy. I don't understand how she was ever a federal prosecutor. Don't get it. I just don't get it. But, you know, she claims she rides the subways. Maybe she does. Maybe she does. I don't know. Okay, so let's go to The View. And guess what these women are talking about? Guess what the women are talking about? They're talking about Senator John Fetterman's choice of clothing. That's right. I told you that he shows up at he gets out of the car at the Senate. He's wearing his gym shorts, sneakers, no socks, and a hoodie. While everybody else has a suit and a tie and is dressed appropriately. Well, guess whose side they came down on for the most part. For the most part. So let's go to Joy. And then Alyssa Farah Griffin weighs in as well. But here is cut number 250.
Leave it to Republicans to be outraged by a grown man in shorts than the fact that children are being routinely shot in school these days.
Yeah.
Not to mention the fact that Ted Cruz.
Who?
Rafael Cruz is okay. His real name. Uh-huh. He showed up in the Senate in workout attire. There he is. Oh, he said that he was in the middle of a basketball game. There was no outcry from the Republicans when this guy showed up like that.
Yeah.
So this is all about, you know, politics and making trouble for Fetterman, who is an everyman. He's the everyman, and that's why people like him.
He's the everyman. He had a stroke. He can't really speak. He dresses like a bum. In the U.S. Senate, of course, he doesn't go on the floor of the Senate this way, we are told, if they have that right. And he's the everyman. We all want to be like him, not to mention his severe, severe depression. He's the everyman. And what they said about Ted Cruz, interesting. Rafael is his name, and he goes by Ted, and they said, who? Who? Meanwhile, Newsbusters will tell you that Sonny is not Sonny Hostin's name. So how could they even bring up Ted Cruz when they got Sonny sitting there and that's not her name? See, they know no shame. They know no shame. And to say they put a picture up, I saw this. They put a picture up of Ted Cruz. I guess he was in gym clothes or whatever, basketball clothes. Because he had just come from a basketball game. That was a one-off. That was unusual. 99.9999999% of the time he's in a suit and a tie. So they show this. He got out of the car. Did he show up on the floor of the Senate that way? I don't know. And if he did, was it for an emergency vote? I mean, that would be that's a different story. This guy does it by choice. He opts not to wear a suit, and he's the everyman. We all want to be like John Fetterman. And here is Alyssa Farah Griffin, who worked for Trump. Trump's now blasting her, by the way. She's what passes for a Republican these days. Let's listen to what she had to say. Cut 251.
I sort of disagree, though. I thought it was actually charming when he campaigned and wore it. It was the everyman thing.
But it's the Senate, and there should be, I think, some level of decorum. By the way, I would just know, imagine if a woman did this. Like, imagine if Elizabeth Warren rolled in a hoodie and shorts. People would be losing their minds.
Oh, well, yeah. Cinema, Kristen Cinema showed up in some wacky outfits.
Well, sequins.
But, like, I worked in the Capitol for many years, and there are areas where dress codes are strictly enforced. And what I don't love is he's still voting, but he's deliberately not going on the Senate floor because he's not in dress code. Mm-hmm. Some of the most consequential conversations in history happen on the Senate floor as people are going to vote.
Yeah, like, but that's in, how he in the right outfit. He does it, and he does it not to be disrespectful. That's why he doesn't go on to the Senate floor.
Yeah.
He does it from where he's comfortable, because this is who he is.
Oh, so he votes, but he doesn't vote from the Senate floor because he doesn't want to be disrespectful. So he doesn't have these conversations that Alyssa Farah Griffith was talking about with other senators, where things happen when you talk to other senators. So he's isolated. He stays away because he dresses like a pig and a slob and a bum. And he votes, but not on the Senate floor, because he's being respectful. Respectful to who? And this is who he is. He's the everyman. We all want to be like him. We all want to be like him. Now here's Sarah Haynes. She's kind of like milquetoast, but here's 252.
I was raised in the time where my parents would call it your church clothes.
Yeah.
Like, if you went to a play, we had to dress up. And
yeah.
I know times have changed, but I do like that decorum. I think when I just that part on the Senate floor, because I love that he's
but
in hoodies.
But he's not on the Senate. He does,
no. Well, I mean, he stands outside. It's a technicality. Yeah. But, like, if you, to me, if you're
he
going in,
at the door.
I think you're an elected senator. Like, that's in a moment where it's kind of, we have lacked so much of what was once tradition that I'm starving
but for just a moment
that looks like the old time.
Okay, good for her. But here's Sunny, that's not my name, weighing in again, and of course in defense of Fetterman. Here is cut 253.
I think it's actually quite endearing that he has said, I do not look like a typical politician, nor do I look like a typical person. He's 6'8". I even lack the political metaphorical sleeves to roll up. All I ever wear are short sleeve work shirts, because hard work is the only way to build our communities back up.
I love all that.
Is it about what he looks like?
He is reportedly a millionaire. It's not like this is a guy
he's
who can't afford a Joseph A. Banks
scooter. But it has nothing to do with money. It has to do with comfort. I like being comfortable. He wants to be comfortable. He's not comfortable in the other stuff.
I'm just saying.
And so he doesn't have to, you can't equate money with how somebody, their style. People have their own style.
Hear me out. This is a pretty casual show. If tomorrow I came out in shorts and a hoodie, people would be like, is everything okay with Alyssa?
That's who he is. He's not comfortable. Maybe he, should come with no shirt. Maybe the hoodie is too hot during the summer. Maybe he'll take it off and he'll just walk like in a bathing suit. That's who he is. He's the everyman. We got one more. Whoopi finishes it up. Oh, God help us all. 254.
That's why he is able to be
him. Also not Whoopi Goldberg.
In fact, he is doing exactly what the American dream tells you can do. You can be you.
And don't confuse his outfit with his politics.
No, I like his politics.
You take somebody like Matt Gaetz. I don't care if he shows up in a tuxedo. He's an idiot.
I don't care if he turns up in a tuxedo. He's an idiot.
That's an intellect.
He's an idiot.
Oh, these women, I'm telling you, where do they find them? Where do they find them? Oh, he's living the American dream. You could do what you want. You could wear what you want. You don't need to respect the institution. You don't need to follow decorum. You could do whatever you want. No, you really can't. Now, he's getting away with it, but he can't go to the Senate floor, apparently. What other restrictions? Well, when you can't really talk, God bless him. It doesn't really matter if you're on the Senate floor. We'll get to that when we come back. Steve Malzberg, one final segment left in the hour on TNT Radio.
De-weaponizing weather with reality and perspective.
The Daily Star, which is a newspaper, I guess, in England, has been whipping up pre-heat wave hysteria. Weather forecasters reveal exact days heat wave will bring the UK close to 30°C. Now, this was Saturday, and apparently they were thinking some big heat wave was on the way later this week into next week. upset apparently because when I examined the situation, the European generated computer forecast in London was predicting no temperature over 23°C for 15 days. Now, is 23°C a heat wave? Well, guess what? The latest run says 21°C. It's actually cooler. All right, well, let's get serious here. This typhoon in the Pacific is going to be a monster. My company, WeatherBell.com, came out Saturday and said this is going to Category 5. Joint Typhoon Warning Center, doing better, I think, has it as a 4 with their initial forecast instead of a 2 like Mocha. And then they picked up on it later. In the meantime, we got a bunch of nuts dumping coal into the Trevi Fountain or whatever it is over in Rome. I've been to Rome before. When in Rome, do like the Romans do. And guess what? The Romans don't dump trash into their fountains. And someone should make these people pay the price for their insanity. Well, whatever that is today. This is TNT Climate and Weather Watchdog meteorologist Joe Bastardi asking you to enjoy the weather. It's the only weather you got.
How about some good news? There is a cure for hepatitis C. A simple blood test will tell you whether or not you have hepatitis C. More than 9 out of 10 people who receive highly effective treatment are cured and less likely to develop liver cancer or liver complications. One little blood test, and you'll have done your part to help eliminate hepatitis C for good. Get tested, get treated, get cured. Visit hep.org for more information.
You're with Steve Malzberg on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Okay, we are back, ladies and gentlemen. So I want you to hear something I've been meaning to play for you for a while now. This was from a Senate committee hearing and on banking. And this is John Fetterman, the everyman. Every man wants to be him. Trying to ask questions, trying to make sense, or trying to make sense while asking a question. Again, God bless him, but he doesn't belong in the Senate for a list of reasons. Not the least of which is he can't express himself. Okay, he can't talk. Here is cut number 198.
Is it a staggering responsibility that the head of a bank could literally crash our economy? It's astonishing. That's like if you have, I mean, like, and they also realize is that now they have a guaranteed way to be saved by how, you know. So it's you know, isn't it appropriate that this kind of control should be more stricter to prevent this kind of thing from going? Or should we just go on and start bailing and sailing whoever bank, regardless of how their conduct is?
All right. So I probably built it up to make it seem that it was going to be worse, and it doesn't sound that bad, but it's bad. Here's 199.
You know, I'll give you an example. The Republicans want to give a work requirement for SNAP. You know, for a hungry family has to have this kind of penalties or these some kinds of working required. Shouldn't you have a working requirement after we sail your bank with billions of your bank? Because they seem to be more preoccupied than SNAP and requirements for works for hungry people, but not about protecting the tax papers, you know, that will bail no matter whatever does about a bank to crash it. Chair?
All right, then he said, Chair. I don't know if he was asking a question and the guy didn't understand it, so the guy didn't answer, or what the heck was going on there. But that's just unacceptable. I'm sorry. How he won is mind-boggling. How he was worse during the campaign, worse, much worse. But this is the everyman who dresses like a slob by choice, has nothing to do with his stroke. He dresses like a slob, and idiots champion him and say that's what's great about America. And I'm sure if Donald Trump, you know, had worn shorts and a hoodie inside the White House, they would have said, hey, good for him. Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, everyone on The View would have said, that's the everyman. That's what's great about America. You don't have to wear those clothes with a jack and tie. Maybe it's uncomfortable for him. Maybe he doesn't like them. Oh, they would have said that about Donald Trump. Absolutely. No doubt about it. No doubt about that. Oh, man. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? So, folks, it just gets crazier and crazier, and it makes you know, you could really bang your head against the wall. You really can. So here's another example. How many examples of John Kennedy, the senator from Louisiana, the Republican, at committee hearings for court nominees to be to be promoted through the federal courts? How many times have we heard him ask a question of a nominee? And they don't know the answer. Well, here's the latest one. This woman is going. This is Judge Ana de Alba, and she's in California on a district court, and she's being promoted to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, which is a very important court. Here's cut 221.
Judge de Alba, this has been in the news a lot lately. And you'll probably see it if you're confirmed to the Court of Appeal. Tell me about the dormant Commerce Clause.
Senator, I'm somewhat familiar with the Commerce Clause, which is found in Article 1 of the Constitution.
Well, it was a big Supreme Court case that just came out of your state.
And I apologize, Senator. In my 11 years of practice and my 5 years on the bench, I have not dealt with the dormant Commerce Clause. But if I am so fortunate enough to be confirmed and have to deal with it in the future, I would certainly
research it
and, yeah, be prepared.
Okay. I'm starting to think I played that for you the other day. But nonetheless, it's worth hearing again. She doesn't know. Hey, she doesn't have to know. She's the every woman. That's what's great about America. You don't want to know something? You're dumb? Doesn't matter. You don't have to know everything. That's what's great about this country. Listen to this. Former President Donald Trump appeared in court virtually earlier today. And New York City Judge Juan Merchan set a trial date for Alvin Bragg's criminal case against Trump, for the Stormy Daniels stuff where he was indicted on 34 counts of falsifying business records. Remember, we went through that. You know when the trial is supposed to begin? Remember, I said it was supposed to be January, and it was. You know when this trial is supposed to begin? Right in the middle of the presidential primary season, March 25th of 2024. March 25th. This is unbelievable that they could be getting away with this. Right in the middle when he's supposed to be running for president. Right when the debates are, the primary, Super Tuesday, all that stuff. Right then, March 25th. Why can't they have it next week? Why can't they have it before this year is out? Why can't they have it in September? Why can't they have it this summer? Nope. We need a year from when he was indicted? A year for a former president? There can't be an exception made of some sort? This is insanity. And this isn't going to be the only thing. Now, Trump took to Truth Social and said, just had New York County Supreme Court hearing where I believe my First Amendment rights, freedom of speech, have been violated, and they forced upon us a trial date of March 25th, right in the middle of primary season. Very unfair, but this is exactly what the radical left Democrats wanted. It's called election interference, and nothing like this has ever happened in our country before. With the First Amendment, I believe there's some kind of gag order. I'm not sure how far it reaches. But there you go. There you go. All right, folks. We will do this again tomorrow, God willing. Tell your friends, tell your enemies
I'm Steve Malzberg. Don't go away, because Damian Richardson is coming next. And you know where we are. TNT Radio.